This portion of the show is brought to you by Namarco's Pizza. Order online at namarcospizza.com. The Jeff Horvitz Show starts now.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horvitz here. Happy to be here with you today on a pretty warm northern Arizona afternoon. I got a busy 2 hours lined up for you. Just a minute, we're going to talk and get an update, a D.C. update from Congressman Eli Crane. I want to hit on Ukraine. I want to hit on what happened with the debt ceiling while I was on vacation. He voted against it, I believe, so I want to get details from him. I also want to talk about a couple of his bills that are out there. So maybe get the good, the bad, and the ugly from Washington, D.C. Probably a lot of ugly. In the second hour of the show, about 45 minutes in for all you podcast listeners out there, and I appreciate everyone. I noticed some new subscriptions. Subscribing is free. Your favorite podcast provider will carry the show. Look up, just type in Horvitz and it's going to come up, O-R-A-V-I-T-S. But anyway, your podcast listener, about 45 minutes in or so, I'm going to get an update from Prescott Mayor Phil Good. Everything going on in the Prescott area. As you know, we're also on 107.9 FM in Prescott now, Prescott and surrounding areas, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and I think it's coming in really good down there. So if you want to get a clear signal and you're in that area, 107.9 FM, and of course 97.1 FM everywhere else in northern Arizona, and streaming at talkwithjeff.com. But anyway, Phil Good will join us, and Olivia will be by in just a little bit, share some of your comments. We got quite a few after yesterday's show, and also maybe some top news picks if we can squeeze them in there, especially this sub deal, the Titanic sub deal. Gets you some updates on that. Before I get to Congressman Eli Crane, Gutter Helmet's been with us here for a few years now. Gutter Helmet has the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty on performance and materials for their really awesome multi-patented reverse curve that you put on they put it on your roof. So all of those pine needles, all those leaves, all that stuff doesn't get into your gutters and cause it to clog up. So that way you don't have to go on your ladder anymore and clean it out, which stinks doing that, especially if you're in pine needle country. It's twice a year minimum. Call Gutter Helmet and they'll get you a quote. Mention a Jeff Horvitz Show and you can get a discount there. Don't forget to mention the show. My neighbors got this system and they are so happy. Word just spread around the neighborhood and so many houses have now gotten this system. So call or text Carl the Gutter Helmet Man at 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555, or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. All right, let's get an update from Congressman Eli Crane. We got a lot of ground to cover here. Plus, hey, always get your comments in. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. All right, let's welcome back to the program Congressman Eli Crane. Congressman, how you doing today?
I'm doing.
Oh, but you cut out there for a second. Can you hear me now, Congressman? How you doing today?
I'm good. Can you hear me, Jeff?
Oh, there we go. Who knows? I'm down in Camp Verde. Sometimes I get reception down here. So it's been busy. I want to loop back with you, Congressman, on something, because I actually took 2 weeks off a little while back, and in the midst of that was the debt ceiling discussion and the spending package and all of that. And how did you come out on that? Maybe just kind of fill us in on the details of that real quick before we move on to some other things.
You know, I voted no on the debt ceiling package for a couple different reasons. I think it was ironically, you know, when you look at the title of the bill, the Fiscal Responsibility Act, I think it was completely irresponsible. It didn't have a cap on it. So I think we believe it's going to be at least $4 trillion added onto the national debt by January 2025. And then many of the things that we fought for in the Limit, Save, Grow bill that we actually passed out of the House, were stripped away, like the recension funds for the IRS agents, the RAINS Act, strong work requirements for SNAP, and other things. And then even the student loan bailout, most of those things they got rid of. And Jeff, the only data point you need to look at when looking at that debt limit bill is the fact that 165 Democrats voted for it and 149 Republicans. So it was just one more example of the uniparty moving in lockstep once again to keep this massive, massive sellout of the American people and our economy moving forward.
And you said it. I'm so convinced of this now, the uniparty, because it's just they're going. Most of them are going the same direction. I'm glad, Eli, that you voted against this. I wasn't thrilled with the spending package in itself, because while it did cut things, it also is spending a lot more than, you know, prior to 2019, 2020. But I'm really glad you voted against this. It's not even a debt ceiling raise. They just got rid of it for a couple years, right?
Yeah, you know, so that was one of the things that we wanted to do is I think anytime you get into trouble in your life, Jeff, whether it's, you know, financially or with your marriage or anything like that, you don't say, hey, we're going to revisit this in 2 years. Mm-hmm. You say we're going to revisit this in, you know, 2 months, you know, so you try and keep it right in front of your face so that you're constantly working on it. And that was one of the frustrating things about it is that, you know, instead of the Limit Save Grow Act that we passed out of the House, which was a 1 year deal, they pushed it out past the election because these guys don't want to deal with this stuff during an election cycle where people are actually going to cast a very important vote on which way the country heads.
Eli, I'm convinced, and you've been there not too long now, but I think you see the writing on the wall there. I'm convinced they're never going to really address the spending and the debt issues until and if, and I don't even think it's a matter of if, but when they're forced to by economic reality. Until then, I just don't see enough bodies concerned about this to make a change.
I agree with you 100%. And you said, you used one word in that sentence, Jeff, that it's something I tell people all the time up here. This town, the tactics in this town, the behaviors in this town do not and will not change unless they're forced.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, so we don't have enough people up here right now to, you know, force the change. It's frustrating, but it is what it is. And I completely agree with you. I think this country is headed towards default. And until we get people who are, you know, are actually serious about the debt when they've got their voting card out up here on Capitol Hill and not just on the campaign trail, we're going to blow this thing up.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're talking with Congressman Eli Crane. Let's move on to something that is successful, at least in the House at this point. I don't know where this goes with the Senate and the president. And it seems like something so trivial that we shouldn't have to fight on, but it's this whole gas stove thing, this natural gas, and you had the safety commission, whatever the government agency was, that Trumka guy that came out with this. Hey, we're going to get rid of natural gas is dangerous all of a sudden, and you're going to get sick. You're going to die. We've been using it for 100 years. I don't know if you said we're going to die, but probably. And there was a massive backlash because people are like, wait a second, this just sounds stupid. So you guys passed something, though, that said basically you can't ban gas. Talk about that a bit and what's the reality of this thing actually making its way.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can actually get it through the Senate. But yeah, Jeff, this is just one more, in my opinion, this is just one more instance where the Democrat Party, which is becoming more totalitarian by the day, you know, wanted to, you know, overregulate, overreach, and tell Americans what kind of stoves they can use. And I think most citizens out there just want the federal government to leave them alone, to be small and to be limited. And this was just one more instance where it, you know, we had to play whack-a-mole up here and write legislation for something that, you know, would seem like common sense, but, sense is anything but common up here, Jeff.
My question would be, and you probably don't know the answer to this, what are the other 8 things that they're trying to pass that are maybe similar to this or in the same vein of the world's going to end by 2030 and let's do this to control and et cetera, et cetera? I think they're always throwing the stuff on the board and you see this one and you're like, this is ridiculous, but they got 8 or 80 more things out there and it's hard to even keep track of. Like you said, whack-a-mole.
Yeah, it is. Like one of the things that we've been working on for the last couple months would actually led to a little infighting within the Republican Party was the ATF pistol brace, where basically you have the ATF, you know, who's a bureaucratic agency that, you know, led by unelected individuals, basically made a ruling on pistol braces basically made, you know, was about to make, you know, millions of American citizens who bought firearm accessories and firearms legally felons overnight. And so that was one of the things that we got into a little, you know, spat about a couple weeks ago up here. One of my colleagues, Andrew Clyde from Georgia, another member of the House Freedom Caucus, was told that if he voted against a rule, and a lot of people don't know what that is, but if he voted against a rule before voting for a bill, they were going to take his ATF pistol brace resolution and they were going to throw it in the garbage can where it wouldn't see the light of day. And so we made a big stink about it. And we actually started taking down rules and shut the house down for about a week so that we could get Andrew Clyde's pistol brace bill to the floor so that people would actually have to take a vote on it. So that's one more example of not only, you know, something that, you know, that totalitarians up here are trying to take away from people, but even how hard it is sometimes, you know, that the measures that Republicans and actually more, you know, honestly conservatives have to, you know, go through, you know, just to protect people's rights and to, you know, to keep the federal government, you know, just away from your stove and the brace on your pistol and, you know, everything in between.
And just for clarification, that rule did go into effect, right? I mean, whatever you're doing is legislation that hasn't made it through the process yet.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. That is correct, Jeff. Unfortunately, the rule did go into effect. Because President Biden is so anti-2A, I know that he'll veto it, but if we get the Senate to pass it, and I was talking to Andrew Clyde on the floor, I think yesterday, he's pretty confident that within the next couple of weeks, the Senate is going to take this bill up. You know, it will send a strong message to the courts, the Supreme Court will probably be ruling on this soon. And we're hoping that just like they did with the bump stock ATF ruling, banning bump stocks, because the court ruled that the ATF does not have the legal authority to be making these rules. These rules are supposed to be made by Congress. And so we're hoping that, you know, if we're able to pass it in the House and the Senate, it will send a strong message to the court to strike down this unconstitutional rule by the ATF. Yeah.
Time and money, though. And in the meantime, like the bump stock one lasted, it was in effect for a few years. So anyone who was making those out of business, anyone who had them, probably got rid of them, lost money. So it's just like they kind of, even if we win that, they kind of, through the legal process, you get shafted because who can fight them? And it can take years to unwind. I mean, fight it, obviously, but it's sad that we continually have to fight these in the courts.
No, you're right, Jeff. You're right. It is sad that we have to fight them, but you know it has to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll continue to do it.
Okay, Congressman Crane is with us. Let's end with this. Let's switch to the international side. I know you did pass the transcript for Assurance for Heroes Act, and that's really good there. If we have time, I'd like to loop back to that. But I want to hit the international side here. There was a lack of funding for cybersecurity and some kind of arrangement we had with Israel, I believe. Maybe touch on that real quick.
Yeah, so, you know, we're just trying to make sure that the cooperation you know, between Israel and the United States continues to move back. You know, obviously Israel is our biggest ally in the Middle East. And because of, I think, some of the anti-Semitism up here, you know, that some of that cooperation was in jeopardy. So we put out a new letter to the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, expressing support for two critical national security programs with Israel, and voiced concern that FY23 funds were not delegated to these essential projects.
Okay. Did you get the money, or is it, did it not make it in there? So this is just asking you to get it back in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how, you know, a lot of these steps that you take, you know, they kind of have a, you know, they kind of have a multi-pronged approach, and usually you'll reach out with a letter first, and if you can resolve it that way,
yeah. Okay.
It's great. Usually doesn't work, but then you know, address it. In other ways.
Yeah, you keep pushing. On the money side, I see that we keep finding money, and the State Department, Department of Defense, or whoever, all the time I read about the billions of dollars that, oh, we freed up because of this, that, or the other thing. I haven't tracked it lately, how much money we've shoveled into Ukraine. Are we still shoveling? Is there still support amongst both parties to continue to shovel money into this thing?
Unfortunately, yes, Jeff, and I have the fresh numbers for you, $113 billion of your hard-earned tax dollars just went, you know, have gone to Ukraine since the war started. And good news, Jeff, the Pentagon just found an additional $6.2 billion because of a rounding a marketing error,
yeah,
or accounting error. So that money is going to be going to Ukraine as well, instead of actually somewhere that I think would put America and Americans first, like maybe the southern border. And it's just, you know, that's just, it's so frustrating, Jeff, because this is something that both parties continue to support. I get asked about this all the time, Jeff, and I think that the play here is to usher in peace talks, not continue to pump money after money after money that we don't have,
yeah,
into escalating a proxy war with, you know, one of the world's largest, you know, holder of nuclear weapons. When we have, just today I had a committee hearing with, you know, we were looking at what Iran, China, and Russia, the moves on the board they're making in Latin America and countries, and down in South America. And they're really being aggressive in some of the moves they're making down there, and our focus and our resources continue to be focused on this country over in Europe that most people can't point to on a map, is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And, you know, and then you have the issue, Jeff, that we actually have serious allies that are facing some serious, showdowns in the near future. You've got Israel, you've got Taiwan, you know, and we're using a lot of our own ammunition and, you know, weaponry to fight, you know, and to send over to fight this proxy war. And so I think it's dangerous on many different levels. And once again, Jeff, I know we've talked about it before. It's not because I don't care about Ukrainians or anything like that, but I think there needs to be an awakening, people to understand this isn't, you know, the United States of 1980 or 1990. When you look at the debt that we have, when you look at the leadership that we have, who just pulled us out of Afghanistan as disgracefully as most Americans have ever seen, you have to really think about what you're doing and ask yourself, is this the best thing for the American people? Is this the best thing for our homeland security? What could be the negative outcomes of what we're doing? And I just don't think enough people up here are looking at that.
No, I don't think so. And I think if you could get to the table, these two, Russia and Ukraine, and figure it out, these conflicts have been going on for a long time, well before this, and try to resolve this. But I think there's so much money at play now, as you just referenced, Eli, that it becomes hard because there's so many interested folks with their hands in the till, shall we say.
Yep. No, I agree. And unfortunately, that's what makes a lot of this town go around, Jeff.
Okay. I know you got to go. Good job. I think you got the transcript assurance for Heroes Act in the hopper there, which is good for veterans. I don't know if you have time to touch on that, or do you got to run?
Yeah, I've got a couple minutes. So okay. Basically, I didn't even realize this was a problem, but I guess the veterans are struggling to get their transcripts. Is if a school shuts down or they're moving to a new school, and so this bill would make it mandatory that schools work with the VA to get veterans their transcripts in a timely manner, so that they can be flexible. And no matter what's going on in the world, they can continue their education.
Yeah. Okay, good. We'll end on that. That's a good note there. That should be supported by everybody. So let me know how that all turns out next time we talk, hopefully in the next few weeks, Eli.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. I appreciate it, Matt.
Thank you. Take care. We'll talk with you soon. All right, folks, love your comments. Go ahead and send in an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I got a couple I want to get to here in just a few minutes when we come back. I'll bring in Olivia to read some of those. And, you know, I love sharing your comments. So, like I said, keep those coming. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. We also have the mayor of Prescott coming up. That'll be an hour two of the show, about 45 minutes in. If you're listening to the podcast, Mayor Phil Good will join us. And we'll probably spend a good part of the second half of the show with him talking about all the things going on there, plus statewide and other issues as well. So stick around. You know, I played this game with my family a couple times now and had a good time. You're learning about animals. You're learning about promises of scripture. This is a something you can do with your family, with your friends. You can give this game to others to help spread the word as well. Noah's Ark card game of promise. You get the game by itself for a great price up at noahsarkcardgame.com. That's noahsarkcardgame.com. You can also buy a multi-pack, so you can, like I said, share that with friends, family, your church, your school, senior center. Go to noahsarkcardgame.com. That's noahsarkcardgame.com. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
The more I talk to people from D.C., and when they're honest about it, like Eli Crane was about the situation with debt ceiling and financial situation and how things just keep on churning over there, the Uniparty, the more I am happy to have Desert Gold Exchange as a sponsor on the program, because like, to me, that's an insurance policy, having a little bit of physical gold and silver when all things have gone crazy, especially when you know what we see happening mostly in D.C. and around the world, quite frankly. Why don't you call Desert Gold Exchange, find out why I've bought gold and silver from Justin and his family-owned company based right here in Arizona. They keep their fees and their overhead low. They're able to pass those savings right on to you. Why don't you call Desert Gold Exchange, mention the Jeff Horovitz Show, you can get a free investor's kit, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Okay, I want to get into the sub-issue when we come back. I also want to get to some of your comments before we also hear today on a very busy show from the mayor of Prescott, Mayor Phil Good. Hang tight, back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Crazy Country Boys Services in Flagstaff.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Olivia joins me. We got comments. We got Mayor Phil Good of Prescott coming up an hour or two of the show. So looking forward to that update. was thinking of the environmental leftist cultists this morning while I was filling my gas-powered weed whacker.
Of course you were.
What else you've got to think about when it's already getting into the 90s early and you're filling your gas-powered weed whacker, but the leftist, cultist, extremist. So I'm looking, okay, I'm filling, right, this, you if you're whacking weeds, you need something with power. I have a battery one. I do. I have a steel battery one that it's more like a toy. It's like, it. Okay, let me rewind. It's not a toy, but if you've got a little like condo lawn, which is fine, it's good for that. If you have anything significant to do, what do? Break out the gas-powered weed whacker.
Because that's what you need.
Because that's what you need. You need that power. So anyway, I'm filling this thing up before I go to probably weed whack for a good hour. And the little tank will hold about an hour of high-powered weed whacking capability in there. That little bit of gasoline that goes a long way, right? And I'm looking at this tank. First of all, I'm ready to pour it in, and I've got one of the new gas cans that I put a modified nozzle on, if EPA is listening. And the ding-dongs in D.C. I should bring this up with every time we have someone from Congress on, again, then my gas can problems, right? Because nobody's sick of hearing about that. So it's still going boom, 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 right? So what I do, I go in the shed, I get a nail.
And you stab it.
Stabbed it right through it. And then I poured it.
I was wondering how long that would take.
Poured right through. Done. That's how gas pours. You need a hole in it to create that complete plumbing system.
So tomorrow morning, am I going to see you stabbing holes in all of them?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go nuts. I mean, I've already gotten rid of the nozzles on a lot of cans. I just threw them away, and I use a big funnel.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you get the biggest funnel, just dump it in.
But really, the funnel isn't a good solution either.
It's better than that gas, you know, the new gas can. So anyway, so I'm pouring into my little, my steel weed whacker, gas-powered. A tank can't be an eighth of a gallon. I'm thinking,
no, it's really small.
It's really small, and it goes a really long way. And I'm thinking, this is the end of the world? You know, because they're making these, you can't use it. In Hawaii, they were using all battery stuff. This is fine if you want to use that and sit there charging all day. You probably got someone running around like a rat in a wheel, you know, charging.
I mean, that is, like, different from other places, considering that it's, like, an island and they have different circumstances.
I guess. They still got to import the batteries. They got to import everything,
I know,
except
but
for the chickens.
I don't know their exact situation, but like that could be easier.
Yeah, maybe. I got a lot of stuff to hack down, though. So, but I was looking at this little can, the little tank on the weed whacker. I'm like, really? This is what they're all excited about? This little thing is causing that much problem. Oh, but all the weed whackers combined and blah, blah, blah.
The world has been saved.
All the hot air combined, right? That'll lead me to my next thing, which is the goat thorns that we talked about. Goat horns or goat thorns?
There's some controversy in that. We call them goat thorns. I
think they're goat horns.
You call them goat horns. So like everybody else calls them goat heads.
Yeah. Goat heads. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm,
that's what our comment from Steven is.
Okay, we'll get to that here in just a second. If you want to sell your home, if your house, your yard has been taken over by goat horns or thorns, and you're like, I'm done, I can't take it anymore, clean your shoes off first, then call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Property Group, brokered by EXP. She'll help you sell your home. You don't want to trust your largest asset to just any agent out there. You want someone with the extensive experience and knowledge that Kelly Broaddus has right in the Flagstaff area, Flagstaff and surrounding areas. She's got a proven marketing system. She is constantly helping homeowners sell their homes for thousands of dollars over asking price. Kelly's got a full team of dedicated professionals to work with her as well. Call the only agent I'd call if I was selling a home right now in the Flagstaff area at 888-446-5602. That's 888-446-5602. You can also look her up, Broaddus. Check out her great 5-star reviews on, I guess, Google and the other places, right?
Okay. Yeah, wherever you check that
wherever
out.
Wherever you check things out. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you.
So Steven sent us this link to thegoatheadroller.com. And on this website, we took the little description. It says, the goat head roller is designed to be easy to operate and almost entirely hands-free.
This is a big, like, rubberized roller. And
I had
thought of this.
Yeah, we saw a
picture. I was thinking, can I get something for my tractor to just roll around and pick them up? Because your tires attract these thorns, right?
Everything does.
In our entrepreneurial capitalist system saw that there is a problem because this is a huge, noxious, invasive weed.
It's terrible.
That's going everywhere. So this guy's got this, what is it, 2 feet? 3 feet wide? I think he should be 8 feet. I need an 8-footer. But we'll start. Let's try to get him on the show.
Have fun rolling that.
I think this is an important enough topic. We should get this guy on the show. So he's got this big roller. Okay, go on.
The fabric on the roller is designed to pick up goat heads. Then they are scraped into a catch basin. When the basin is full, just flip the handle over to empty it onto cement or cardboard and then keep picking up those goat heads.
Just keep going. It's never going to end.
Yep, it keeps going.
The problem is you got to dispose of them properly. You can't just... Pile them up somewhere.
Thing that we've been trying to figure out. Like, do we burn them? Do we
bury
them?
They're burnable. They're
Will they
like
create, like, toxic fumes?
Satan's spawn. These things are awful. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do with them. Put them in a bag, but then
it's
if you put them in
them in some water or something, then they spread somewhere else. And if you bury them, they're going to grow.
Yeah, I'm thinking a ditch, and you just keep burying them. Like, bury them deep. They won't grow. I think that's the only solution. Okay, yeah, I looked up. What was it, like $300? It might be worth it.
They're not a sponsor or anything. How many times we picked them.
They might become a sponsor. I'm going to talk to this guy. Maybe he can give me a free goat horn collector and I'll get him on the show. Wait, did I say that out loud? All right, who else we got?
We read this one yesterday, but this is from Curtis.
Okay.
Annoying sticker bushes, Genesis chapter 3, verse 18. You can blame it all on Adam and Eve for screwing that one up.
Because I've been asking, what in the world is the purpose of these things?
Well, that's what
why
I
would
said.
These things
like,
be here?
They exist purely. Yeah,
and he's, what was it, verse what?
Chapter 3, verse 18.
Yeah, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Yeah, after, you know, Adam and Eve and, you know, partaking in the forbidden fruit. So, thanks. So, that's where goat horns or thorns.
We really enjoy it.
Gift that keeps coming, keeps giving. All right, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. Send in your comments.
Jeff, do you know anything about the status of the new hospital in Flagstaff, Adrian?
Yes, Adrian, and we've had on several people on this issue, including Flagstaff City Councilwoman Lori Matthews, who voted for the zoning change. So this is a huge hospital complex, and I've also had Joe Galley from the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce on. Both were strongly supportive of this. I don't really have a position one way or the other. It's kind of, I guess, other than the zoning issue for the private land, it's a private it's a private organization, right? It's a private group, or I guess it's a nonprofit, but it's still privately held. It's not a government agency or anything. So the zoning issue is really the only thing at concern. And Flagstaff City Council, I think only one person voted against it, voted to change the zoning to allow this huge $1 billion-plus medical complex just outside of Flagstaff in the Fort Tut Hill, like right there by the hospital. It's right now approved and set to go forward. However, I have been in touch with a group that has gotten back to me. I heard there was a group out there collecting signatures to put this issue on the ballot, the rezoning issue, I guess.
Against it?
Against it, yeah. They want the voters of Flagstaff to decide if this area should be, I guess, rezoned to allow this huge medical facility, Flagstaff Medical Center. They have been in touch with me. I believe they got to turn in signatures right after 4th of July, July 6th, something like that. And they said they wanted to make sure they got their signatures turned in, got this thing going, and then they'd be happy to come on the show. They're opposing it. So we could have a pretty divisive controversial issue on this hospital going forward. And if it does go forward to go on the ballot, I'll get those folks on. Looks like it as of right now, though, that the project's moving forward. So see how it goes. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. What's going on with the Titanic?
So there's not a bunch of new information. Okay. Obviously, they haven't been found
yet. Titanic sub. What's the sub's name? What is this thing called?
I don't know what the sub is called itself, but it's Ocean Gate Expeditions.
Titan. Okay. Huh. So the sub is a Titan and goes down to takes people down to look at.
Yeah, five people on board.
Five people on board. Missing. So they heard. Somebody heard. I think it was Canadians.
Yeah, it was a Canadian aircraft that was picking up these like noises. It was every 30 minutes for like multiple hours, and I guess they stopped. But just like banging noises, it wasn't very descriptive, and they're like, we're looking into it, but it's inconclusive.
But they don't know. Yeah.
So something's going on, but
sound carries so far. It could have been a passing ship that something was banging, engine part. Who the heck knows?
So the search area is larger than it was, because yesterday we were saying it was about the size of Connecticut, and now it's two times that and 2 miles deep.
Okay. So no
giant
contact.
And no sign besides
I'm just confused
that noise.
As to why... How there's no, like, beacon. Like, something. I guess it's so far down, two miles down. I have read multiple stories, and let's hope that they make it out of there. First of all, they are estimating they only have enough oxygen till what, tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, Thursday morning. 17 hours, I think.
Okay, so, you know, time is ticking there, assuming that something, I mean, what could have happened? There's a couple possibilities. It could have popped the, blown the ballast, I guess, and floated up, and they're floating out there somewhere. But you would think that there'd be like some kind of shortwave radio, some kind of radio to communicate, flares or something.
I don't know exactly where this is from, because it's kind of on all of them. I've been reading a bunch of stories, but it's saying that, like, on other expeditions, they would, for like short periods of time, lose contact, and like from employees and all kinds of things, they're getting quotes from. It's looking like the whole operation was kind of sketchy to start with, like just a disaster waiting to happen.
That's what I heard, that somebody who does like an expedition show for one of the channels, I can't remember the name of the person now, he goes on these kind of crazy adventures, Indiana Jones type stuff, right? And he was saying that he, because they were willing to film like an episode or a show or whatever with that sub group, the Titan, and he backed out because he thought that, in his opinion, it was sketchy, like the safety pro. And now there's stuff coming out about the person in charge was like, hey, we don't want some 50-year-old white guy running this, we want somebody, you know, we're not just looking for experience kind of thing. It was, you know, let's look at that. Yeah,
that's always a great sign.
And I hate to speculate, I don't want to do that, because there's people's lives at stake here, and they're still looking, but a lot of stuff's kind of coming out right now. Let's see what happens, what comes out. But if it might turn into another operation here come tomorrow, because it's just a timing factor, unless they're up and floating around somewhere, or what else? You're 2 miles down. There's a little bit of we should have called Rob Wilson on this, because he spent in the Navy, he's 20 years on a sub, you know, and he's going to be on the program, I think, next week sometime. Little pin break or crack or something with that pressure.
It could be tiny. Yeah, well, I was reading something from some expert that they're basically saying that the possibilities are it can be floating on top of the surface. Mm-hmm. It can be like in the middle of the ocean if it's like
the ballast.
If it's like a neutral thing. Yeah. Or it could be on the bottom, like tangled into something, which is what mom was saying, that it's like stuck down on the bottom. But they're thinking that that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And that it's, but that's also the most likely one.
The worst case is if you're sitting there and you're running out of oxygen. I mean, and it's that's just a horrible situation. So, okay, we'll see what happens with that. Who knows? Sometimes there was that, you know, that airplane that we started watching that documentary on that never finished it, but the one that disappeared in the Southeast Asia, you know, just went and it was just gone and it never found. I mean, sometimes it's so huge out there in you know, the Atlantic, the Pacific, wherever, that it's so hard to, if something goes wrong, it's a needle in a haystack would be an understatement on these types of things. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. We'll talk about it a bit tomorrow on the program as well. Hey, you still got time for our giveaway. It's up at talkwithjeff.com. Click on sponsors and giveaways. We've got multiple things up there, including $50 at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Is it Wednesday? I lose track of
it. It is Wednesday. Yeah, it's summer thing.
Yeah, it's summer programming. Wednesday means Wing Wednesday up at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. I think on Friday's show, we should talk about our restaurant experience in Camp Verde.
It was an experience.
It was quite, after the show, yes, I'm going to save it for a lighthearted portion of our Friday show. It was quite the experience last night. But I always have a good experience when I go to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Wing Wednesday, half price wings going on. They've always got something on their great $4 menu. They've always got great drink specials. Voted best sports bar in Flagstaff many, many years in a row. All the TVs for all your sports action. Usually great music playing as well. Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center. Let's see, a couple minutes left here, and don't forget we got Mayor Phil Good in hour two of the show. Give us a big Prescott update, and I hope you all listening in Prescott on 107.9, almost messed that up, 107.9 FM and 97.1 FM throughout the rest of Northern Arizona. Don't forget, we always stream the show too, up at talkwithjeff.com. That stream is typically always going, 99.2.5% uptime. That's official. I haven't heard much from former Governor Ducey, but his name did pop up yesterday. We didn't have time to get to it. Ducey has taken on a new role as CEO of Citizens for Free Enterprise.
Oh, great. He's doing more. I don't even know what that is.
I had an internal thought like that too, but it's from Arizona Republic. Citizen, you ask, what is it for? Citizens for Free Enterprise is a political action committee that has predominantly received funding from TD Ameritrade, the online stockbroker founded by billionaire Joe Ricketts. In the 2020 election cycle, the group spent nearly $8 million, mostly on media campaigns opposing Democrats seeking congressional seats, according to campaign finance reports analyzed by the nonprofit website Open Secrets. So he's basically working for a group that's promoting candidates and seems like it's heavily funded, according to this Republic article by TD Ameritrade.
Yeah, I was going to say that all I heard was billionaire, million, profit.
To see. Yeah, typically when these people get out of office, they do things like this. They've made connections, and then they go out to work for lobbyist-type groups or groups, what are these things called, independent expenditure-type groups for whatever reason, and they probably get paid very well. And, you know, they are typically able to utilize their connections.
I mean, it's just you right here getting the word out there about that group just because that guy's in it or whatever, whoever. So it's probably part of why those people are wanted.
I guess he's not running for the U.S. Senate then, which I think is good news for the Arizona, you know, for the Senate seat against Sinema and Gallego. And who else? I expect Carrie Lake to jump in this, among others. So, and I know Sheriff Lamb's in there. Sheriff Lamb, you're welcome back on the program. Love to get him on. I'll get them all on at some point here. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send in your email comments. And, we've still got the Mayor of Prescott coming up. Mayor Phil Good. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Gutter Helmet's in its third year here with us on the show, and Gutter Helmet's the best gutter protection system out there. But it's not a leaf filter or a screen that's going to clog and pile up with the pine needles in your gutters. Gutter Helmet is a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects the pine needles and the debris. In Arizona, Gutter Helmet has over 50,000 feet installed and over 80 million feet throughout the U.S. With over 40 years of experience, Gutter Helmet offers the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty on performance and materials. You don't want to clean those gutters anymore. You don't want to go up on the roof. Then you need to call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, right now at 928-318-6555. Never clean your gutters again. Call or text right now. Mention the Jeff Horovitz Show, by the way, and you can get a discount there. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, at 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Or go to gutterhelmetsnaz.com. All right, that's it for this hour. You're actually out of here for the day. You're going to go enjoy swimming and having fun on this warm Arizona day.
But I'll be back later.
First day
this
of summer.
Week.
Isn't the first day of summer?
Oh,
is that today?
And the longest.
Longest. Yeah, there you go. You'll be back tomorrow or Friday or something. We got the mayor of Prescott coming up. Mayor Phil Good. Big update there. Plus, hey, don't forget your comments. Get those in. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hang tight. Back in just a few.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Hi, this is Jeff Horovitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity. This hour of the show is brought to you by Miss Kitty Steakhouse in Williams. Another hour starts now.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back. Another hour of the show. Jeff Horvitz here. Comments always welcome. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. In just a second, we're going to get a good update from Prescott. Mayor Phil Good will join us. A lot of ground to cover. It's a good time to go inside when it comes to practicing and honing in your firearm skills this year, especially with the temperature increasing. With fire risks increasing, Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of Flagstaff Mall. That's a great place to go. You know Rob Wilson and his team out there. They're going to take care of you. Great indoor shooting range, plus all of the stuff you're going to need, firearms, accessories, Liberty safes, ammunition, you name it, they got it. Plus a lot of training courses. Call now to book one of these. These go really quick. We're talking, new to firearms, somewhere in the middle or expert level. Call Timberline Firearms and Training. They'll take care of you. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, please. When you do that, 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Timberline Firearms and Training. All right. Returning to the program, Mayor of Prescott, Mayor Phil Good. Mayor, how you doing?
Doing great, Jeff. Always a pleasure to be on your show with a big talker.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to mention this. We finally have 107.9 FM right there in Prescott. It's a tower just for Prescott and the Prescott area that we've had our little bit of trials and errors there, but it's finally up and running hot, and hopefully we got a lot more people switching over to that little clearer signal on 107.9 FM. So you let me know how that works out, Mayor, because
It works great. Good. I've been listening to it ever since you brought in that signal, and it's crystal clear. It's okay. Great to have that access.
That's good to hear. I'm due for a trip down there, and we're going to go over some of the reasons why I should be heading down there pretty quick here, because you got a lot of events coming. But I have to ask you about this. This was just crazy what happened last Friday with this guy getting dragged out Friday morning while he's drinking coffee and, killed by a black bear. Any updates on that? Anything you want to say about what's going on there? Just a fluke kind of incident that happened?
Well, I think so. Particularly black bears have a tendency to be quite aggressive, even more so than I understand even grizzlies can be sometimes. So when you are out in the wildland urban interface, in this case you're actually in the wildland areas up there, you have to be cognizant of the predators that exist in those areas. You should be prepared to defend yourself. You were talking about firearms training and things like that. Absolutely. When you're out in that area, you have to realize that there are predators, whether bears or mountain lions or other areas of concern. So be prepared to defend yourself. And I think this man who is unfortunate to be kind of targeted by this particular bear, mm-hmm. that had to be ultimately destroyed. But you got to know where you're living. And we even have a anti-wildlife feeding ordinance within the city, because you get new people that move to the area and they think it's so kind to be able to see deer and javelina and other wild animals, and they decide they're going to feed them because they think they're kind. But that turns into a kind of a buffet line for the predators who know where the food sources are. I don't think that applied in this particular case, but I think this gentleman was not prepared to deal with the impact of a wild animal predator like this black bear.
Yeah, and you just never know. I mean, you're out and about, and it's just, I think, unlucky draw at that point as well. Because, I mean, I'm down in Camp Verde today and all week, and not 100 yards from where I'm sitting, my son and I walked across a mountain lion a couple years back that, fortunately mm-hmm. just walked off. We were not armed, but a lot of times we are, or at least I am. Sometimes he is too. So it's like you just never know. Especially if was this in the Prescott areas? Was that the kind of the area that had you head towards like Crown King, that back way? Heading up there in the mountains?
Yeah, in that general area, okay. Up there in the, dense forested
it's
area.
Dense. Yeah.
This guy was building his own cabin by himself, and just, I don't think, was familiar with the risk he was in and be prepared to deal with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm thinking about this because I'm heading through Canada and Alaska. I'm planning this big trip, which I was going to do in 2019. Then COVID hit and we're going to be in grizzly and then ultimately polar bear country. And we're thinking about a lot of stuff, especially though dealing with part of the trip is Canada and different firearms laws. So I'm just like, oh man, yeah. You know, so I'll let you know how that progresses. All right. Well, yeah, our thoughts to his family. I mean, that sucks. Yeah. We've seen a lot of, it is the interaction though, Phil, because I mean, in Flagstaff, I'm dealing with javelinas that I never dealt with before. I'm chasing them off elk, which we've always dealt with, but I'm chasing them off because I don't want them to eat the trees down here in Camp Verde. Javelinas again, you know, deer getting into the corn. It's a constant, you want to see the animals, but, you also want to protect yourselves and protect your property and your right now your garden.
Well, I know. And people sometimes discount, javelinas, but they can be quite defensive, especially if they have, youngsters in their group.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll attack.
I've had them charge. Yeah, they don't see very good, and I've had them charge, and then they kind of went the other way, and I was out there yelling and, you know, big stick in my hand and all that. So I don't know. All right, Mayor Phil Good is with us from Prescott. I guess let's roll through what do you want to start with here? I mean, what's the biggest thing? First of all, you got an election going on, which is hitting in – is it the primary that hits in August?
Right. We have a primary election in August. And for those candidates who receive 50% plus one of the vote, they can actually succeed in their election on the primary. But if there's a runoff, it then goes to November 7th, I believe, for a final decision. And then the elected officials become sworn in on the second meeting in November.
Okay. You're not concerned because you were unchallenged. So once the election happens in August, that'll be a done deal for you. But
well, at least I can count on a couple of votes, my wife and I. So that's just getting me over the top.
You vote for yourself, your wife does it, and you're in because nobody else. So that says something that no one stepped up. I mean, that you're running. This will be your second term, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think the overwhelming mandate I got from the public when I ran and was elected 2 years ago and the follow through that I've done on all the issues that I said I was going to run on, I think people are pretty satisfied with the fact that I'm doing what I said I was going to do. In fact, I even was approached by one guy who said, you know, Mayor, I don't know what to make of you. He said, what do you mean? He goes, you're a politician that actually kept his word. I've never run into that before.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because I'm 7 years in this show and I was doing political stuff before this and I've lost a lot of hope like a lot of people out there, Mayor. I mean, just D.C. has become a hopeless pit at this point. But I think if people are feeling that, Phil.
I think they're so desperate to be able to elect somebody that they can trust, who has principles and will stand up for them and will keep their word as much as they possibly can. Sometimes you run into some roadblocks, but I tell you, I don't pander for votes. I'm a constitutional conservative. I make my positions and my principles crystal clear. So if you want to vote for me, do it. If you don't, then don't. But you can expect me to stand up and do what's right and use the Constitution and its principles to be my guiding light.
And I think that Prescott, I know Prescott in the Prescott area and Yavapai County is more of a center of that constitutional conservatism that's happening right now that's hopefully having somewhat of a rebirth. You counter that with my friends in Coconino County and Flagstaff in particular, and it is a different world, quite honestly. And I had a neighbor that just sold out and they will probably be voting in an election coming up here. They moved to Prescott because they were kind of tired of it. So it's that kind of says a lot. I think Yavapai County in particular, though, has become really a center, Phil, is of people who kind of share and want those values.
I think you're absolutely right. We have the highest voter registration for Republicans up here and the highest Republican voters turnout of any county in the state. But I've been active in the Republican Party for quite a few years. And I emphasize the fact that every single voter has to come out and vote and not just rest on our laurels because we always elect Republicans up here. So we can have an impact throughout the state when we've seen some of these very, very narrow election victories, if you will, that, you know, a few extra 100 or 1,000 votes here or there would make a difference in some of our state leadership.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Switching gears, we're talking with Mayor Phil Good of Prescott. I can't believe it's been 10 years. We've been fortunate this year that it's been cooler than normal. It's finally starting to heat up, but it's still green in a lot of places. We've been lucky, but here we are, 10th anniversary, Yarnell 19, and you've got some things coming up here June 30th. Maybe touch on that a bit, Phil.
Well, we're going to have some very significant commemoration events here on the 30th. I'll be speaking. The governor is going to be up here. The surviving member of the 19th, Brandon McDonough, will be speaking at this event. We'll have the son of one of the fallen 19, Ryder Ashcraft, whose father was Andrew Ashcraft, will be speaking along with the fire chief, etc. And we're even going to have a flyover from Luke Air Force Base of five F-35s in the Lost Man formation.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be quite a major event. It's almost remarkable that 10 years have gone by. But, you know, sometimes that seems like a long time, but I'm sure the people who are affected by this, the families, the coworkers, and the friends, it'll seem almost like yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's a very significant milestone, so to speak, and we have to make sure that we do an even more diligent job of making sure that we're prepared to respond to wildfires. And I think we've made some significant steps in that area. But we live in a forest, and when we have wildfire threats, we have to be prepared to deal with them, and we also have to expect that they're going to occur again.
Yeah, no matter, I mean, I always say if we can get more thinning going, do more, but really encourage people to not start the fires out there, the campfires, because I don't even think, I'm not aware of any restrictions right now. Don't take that as gospel there, folks, and check before you go. I wouldn't be starting a fire this time of year, even if you could. In some places in the state, because I'd be so concerned. But even with all that, even in a perfect world, lightning strikes, something happens, and it can get out of control quick. And there's only so much that human beings can do in the middle of some of the largest Ponderosa National Forest, some of the largest and most rugged terrain in the country.
Well, I think we as individuals and individual homeowners have to take our own personal responsibility to do as much as we can. When you firewise your property and create that defensible space, that really helps slow down some of these issues when they happen with a lightning strike. Gives our firefighters a chance to respond and be able to effectuate a defensive position there and not allow it to really get out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the Crooks Fire last year that fortunately the wind didn't shift. And we kept it away from Prescott, and we were able to contain it and eliminate it. But that was a big one.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time this winter firewising. I mean, it takes a tremendous effort, but it's well worth it. All right, let's see. Let's sit on a couple more here. Mayor Phil Good is here with us. Real quick, looping back, that's June 30th, the 10th anniversary of Yarnell 19. Is that Courthouse Square? What time are we looking at?
Well, it'll start right around 3 p.m. and go until a little after 4.
Okay.
So we expect a huge turnout for that. And you're right, it is at the Courthouse Plaza on the south side of the courthouse on the Goodwin Street area between Montezuma and Cortez.
Okay. All right. So I'll try to get that out there, too, as we get a little bit closer. I guess we're talking... less than 2 weeks at this point. It's zipping by. Okay. Let's talk about a couple of, a lot of rodeos happening this time of year. You just had yours. Was it a couple weekends ago?
No, it doesn't even begin until the 28th.
Okay, 20th. Okay, so you have the rodeo coming up the 28th. It starts, and then how long does that go?
Opening night.
Okay.
They have 8 performances over 7 nights.
Okay. All right.
So that always kind of corresponds with the beginning of the monsoon season. And hopefully it's not going to start on the opening night where I'm going to be.
It's usually how it goes, or, you know, the fireworks on 4th of July, and then it's like that's the right. First day it decides to just downpour the whole time, right?
That's why God created cowboy hats to keep the rain off.
Right? Yeah. Right. Give us, because you know a lot of people have moved into the state, moved into your area, all over the place, into Prescott area. Give us the background on it. Is that the oldest one? Give us a little history here.
It's the world's oldest rodeo. It started in 1888, and it's documented as being the world's oldest rodeo because we had the criteria of having participants, having prize money, and being able to have an award for the champions of the rodeo. So it's been documented, and there's been challenges from other rodeos, but we're the world's oldest, and we're proud of that.
Yeah, good. All right, so get on down there for that. And you guys, I guess, a bunch of money possibly going into the rodeo grounds. Is this this was over the state budget, which I've had a lot of, I was talking with Representative Chaplick just yesterday, and I've had a couple other senators and representatives on this budget. It's supposedly the compromise budget, but, you know, in my opinion, is still a very large budget, historically speaking. But there was a chunk of money that's heading your way specifically for the rodeo grounds, but there's some controversy around it. $15.4 million. Talk about that.
Well, that was a very significant allocation to come out of that unusual distribution of excess state funds. And quite frankly, I was very surprised that this actually happened. I wasn't informed of the process that the Prescott Frontier Days had approached our elected representatives and made such a request, and then find out after the fact that it was actually granted directly to the Prescott Frontier Days, not to the city. And because they are a tenant to our ownership of those rodeo grounds, I found it to be a little bit disturbing, especially after I talked with the state treasurer and found out that this allocation had absolutely no strings attached to it, no conditions, no fiscal agent. So it goes directly to our tenant in our property without our ability to really make sure it's used properly. And there's even some concerns about a violation of the gift clause.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think there's a couple of those allocations in other areas of the state that are also of concern. So we'll have to see how this thing plays out. But, you know, we do need some upgrades in that rodeo arena, some upgraded grandstands, some first aid stations for the contestants and the animals, some upgrades in the staging areas. And then, you know, I'd like to see a few more restrooms in there. And I'm sure the women would agree with me because the line at the women's restrooms is awfully long.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that in a lot of places. Okay, let me, hang on. I want to take a quick break. I got to take a quick break. Can you stick around for just a little while longer? Okay. We're talking okay, perfect. I want to hit on this a little more and then a couple other events coming up in the Prescott area. We're talking with Mayor Phil Good. And remember, you got a comment. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those in and throughout the rest of the week. Olivia and Angela will be sharing some of those comments. Don't forget to get a free complimentary consultation with my good friend over at WT Wealth Management, Glenn Least. He's done a great job for me over the years. I don't tell you how to invest, of course. I just tell you what I do. But I've liked Glenn as far as his, he's easy to talk with. He's not talking Wall Street goobly talk with me all the time. You know, you hear him on the show. He's plain spoken. Plus he's a family guy right here in Northern Arizona, that I think shares a lot of the same values as you. Whether you're in the Prescott area, area, whether you're in the Flagstaff area, Verde Valley, call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. More with Mayor Phil Good. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
Is the Biden economic disaster hitting your household a bit harder than you expected? Is inflation killing your personal budget? Now, Just Wireless was here for you in 2009, and they are here for you in 2023. Why would you pay full price for a new smartphone when you can get a great refurbished phone at Just Wireless and save a whole bunch of money? Or if you're like me, I've taken my smartphone to Just Wireless to get it repaired. They've taken care of cracked screens, charging port problems. They can also change out that battery. Check out Just Wireless's two locations in Flagstaff, across from the Flagstaff Mall and also on Milton Avenue, right as I-17 comes into town. Stop on by today and see how your hometown, locally owned cell phone guru can help you save money. And also check them out at JustWirelessAZ.com. That's JustWirelessAZ.com. All right, talking with Mayor Prescott, Mayor Phil Good. A lot of events going on down there in Prescott, and I got to get back. It's been a couple of months. I might come to this event that you're having on June 30th for the Yarnell 19. The governor's coming up there. They're doing a flyover, some F-35s down there from Luke. My son loves. There's a zoo down there by Luke Air Force Base, and we go to that zoo, and he's just like, he doesn't even want to go to the zoo. He just wants to watch the F-35s go by. So, because they're zipping on right over there. You got the election coming up here, August 1st, three council seats up, four people running. So we'll see if they get the 50 plus one, and you just got three moving forward. The rodeo is coming up here as well. Give me the date on that again, Mayor Good.
The opening night is, June 28th. And then it runs for seven nights, a total of eight performances, because the last day is a dual performance.
Okay. World's oldest rodeo. Go check that out if you haven't had a chance to do that. Well worth it. But some of the controversy that's kind of swirling around that, kind of outside the rodeo, of course, but the state legislature and, you know, the governor agreed to the budget, so they all down at the Capitol decided to allocate $15.4 million not to the city of Prescott, but to the actual tenant that leases the property, correct me if I'm wrong, from the city. To run the rodeo. So there's concerns about the gift clause there. And I wonder, Phil, if this is a symptom of the different way that the legislature did budget. And I can't remember who I was talking to from the legislature recently. May have been Senator Rogers, that they allocated like a slice of the pie, as far as a dollar figure to each representative. Leadership did. So it's like, hey, if you kind of play ball, let's get the budget done. You know, you've got, I'm just throwing out a number, 20 million to play with. So
that's right. 20 million per state representative and okay. 30 million per senator.
Okay. So, I'll just pick that number out of the air. I guess I was right. Anyway. I guess that's when you get into the concerns of possibly pet projects and things like that. And what we traditionally have called, pork. I don't know if it's a way to go or not, because you have concerns about what's going on, how they did this.
Well, when you consider that this is a very unusual distribution of state tax dollars that's outside of the normal way of doing the budget, and, you know, I'm very familiar with budget allocations and how you get asks for different projects submitted. So the fact that this arrangement was so unusual, also made it unusual for me as a mayor and our city, along with some of the other municipalities and even the county, not knowing that this process was going to be of this nature. And therefore, we weren't even able to submit our own requests for high priority funding projects. We just found out that maybe some of the lobbyists down there knew about this in advance and raised the possibility for their connections with, and example, the Prescott Frontier Days knew about it and were able to submit their request to the representatives unbeknownst to city leadership. So that's kind of a strange way of distributing significant funding amounts. I mean, that $15 million could have gone a long, long way to create some of the necessary improvements that the rodeo needs, but within the ability for us to be able to monitor those capital improvement projects and make sure that they were the right ones at the right time for the best benefit.
It's interesting. I would suspect that there may be a challenge on this in some way, particularly the gift clause legally. I haven't heard of anything, but it sounds like something that would be ripe for that challenge.
Well, usually you find that out that there are challenges after the fact rather than proactively. And I hate to see some of the money expended in some of the projects that this tenant wants to do and then find out after the fact that it was a violation and they have to figure out how to return it. So I think looking at the distributions at the beginning of it and clarifying what can and can't be done is a better way of analyzing some of these allocations.
Yeah, okay. Mayor of Prescott's with us, Mayor Phil Good. I just came back recently from a trip to Hawaii. Flying has gotten worse and worse. but let's talk about air services down there. The Prescott Regional Airport is obviously Embry-Riddle, but you guys are flying more and more places and busy airport, to say the least. What's going on there? Because you've got some new things happening.
Well, a lot of people don't even realize that the Prescott Regional Airport is the 18th busiest airport in the entire United States. It's a very busy airport, and you're right. Embry-Riddle does have flight training programs going on. We have a pretty substantial general aviation private pilots that utilize the airport, but we also have a pretty significant commercial service through SkyWest Airlines flying as a subsidiary of United. So we do get this essential air service subsidy that comes out of the U.S. Department of Transportation, and we're coming up for an expiration of that subsidy and then new bids that we're soliciting right now to find out whether SkyWest will continue to be the subsidized commercial carrier or perhaps a different airline may step in for that. So it's critical that we have that because, as you know, even up in Flagstaff, some of their commercial service routes have been dramatically reduced. So I think Prescott is probably the best place for most of the people flying out of northern Arizona to utilize because we have one flight a day into LAX and then two flights a day into Denver.
Okay.
So obviously you can make a lot of connections between those two places. And as our facilities improve, there may be additional providers and additional routes added to it. So I'm hoping that we can continue to expand our services, our runway length, and the number of carriers available, so we become even more of a true regional resource.
Well, Phil, I'm glad you actually mentioned this. It's timely because I'm looking at doing a charter fishing type thing with my son and maybe my dad, maybe a couple other people, right? And I was looking for some, do we go down to Cabo? And you've got that connection that's hitting through LA. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't think of Prescott. I thought of, and I could, coming from Camp Verde, I could decide, do I go to Prescott, do I go to Flagstaff, or I guess you go to Phoenix and go to Sky Harbor, which is, you know, then you got to deal with Phoenix. But now that you mention it, I'm like, well, I should be pulling flights out of there and checking on that, as an option, to avoid going down to Sky Harbor and stay here in northern Arizona. Everybody always thinks, well, maybe Flagstaff, maybe Prescott, quite honestly. I'm sorry, Phoenix, but they should be putting Prescott in their mind as well. One more point on this. Flagstaff, I've flown out of plenty of times, but there's a lot of times I won't book a ticket because there's always weather concerns. I've missed flights before because of it gets. You guys get snow too, but Flagstaff gets significantly more, and it can be challenging.
Way more, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just putting out. I guess start looking at Prescott for those connection you know, for those jumping off points is.
Well, we have a high likelihood that we're going to get funding from the FAA to lengthen our main runway.
Okay.
And with that lengthened runway, then we'll even have less likelihood that passengers have to be bumped off a flight during the middle of the summer because you have this problem with density altitude.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you have a high altitude airport and you have high temperatures, you have less lift, and consequently you have less passengers that can be put on a flight. So we're in the process of lengthening that runway, and with that, we'll have more reliability, more passengers per flight, and more expectation that it's going to arrive and take off when it's supposed to.
Yeah. What's the length now? Do you know that offhand?
We're about 8,000, and we want to be able to go to like 9,600 or maybe even 10,000.
Yeah, yeah, because I know Flag popped over 10, and that helped significantly even with the higher altitude there. So, okay, well, keep us up to date on that. That's a real interesting one as we open up more options throughout northern Arizona for people. And if I don't have to go to Phoenix, it's a happy day. I'm sorry,
yes,
if someone's listening to the stream in Phoenix, but especially right now with 117 or whatever the heck it's going to be.
And the fact that I-17 is in the process of being expanded with that flex lane. So all it takes is somebody getting a flat tire and you're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah, the one lane thing. Yeah, and then the dynamite blasting, sometimes they're closing that coming back up. I almost hit that on my recent flight coming back up to Flag. I missed it by half an hour, fortunately, where they shut it down for an hour, and that was at night when you're already exhausted from flying. Okay, a couple of other things here to wrap up. Mayor Good, you guys are hiring new city manager, new public works director, et cetera, et cetera. I guess you got some new people coming in. I don't think people understand, or why would you, how exhaustive these searches can be. It's not like you just put a help wanted ad in the paper or something. This is usually nationwide stuff. Are you looking internally? What's going on there?
Well, we did a nationwide search, and fortunately we were able to find a city manager from Peoria, who had been the deputy city manager down there and has about 20 years of management experience within Arizona City. So that was a real benefit to us. And we had two openings in these director positions, but obviously we couldn't recruit for those because they wouldn't know who they're going to be working for. So now that we have a new city manager on board, she's been here for about a month, we can start filling some of these other critical director needs. So we're looking to really establish a much improved city management structure within the staff. And, of course, you know, we're a manager council form of government where the city manager controls really all the staffing and the structure there. And then the council provides policy direction.
To the
so
city manager.
Right.
Yeah, more like a corporate model. He's the CEO, or she's the CEO in this case. Yeah.
That's a much more common structure of cities and towns throughout the state.
Yeah. So when you call Mayor Good up and say, you need to come fix this specific item, or you need to do this, you need to send over a police officer for that. That's a more of a strong mayor position, like think New York City, a lot of other cities in the country. And there's not that direct authority to dictate, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but
You're right,
run the
Jeff,
city from day to day.
I have on my desk here in City Hall a crystal ball, and I'm still waiting to get my magic wand delivered. I think it's on a back order from China.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I have to defer to the city manager to get some of these things done.
Yeah. Well, hey, you keep that crystal ball going. You let me know any tips you got and send that to me privately. All right. Mayor Good, okay. Hey, I always appreciate the updates.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get down there for some of these events. I'll put it in the podcast here that comes out at 6 p.m. So if anyone wants to get down and enjoy, especially if you're in some of the hotter areas, enjoy some of the cool events coming up there in Prescott. And I guess good luck with the election coming up.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll need it this time, but You're right. We're always 20 degrees cooler than down in Phoenix.
There you go. All right. Mayor Good, appreciate it. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good day. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Hey, Phil, thanks. That was perfect, man. I appreciate you doing the extra time, and I'll get this out tomorrow. I think it's going to hit at 5 p.m., but I'll text you just so you know for sure, and then we'll podcast it right after.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Jeff. If you do make it up here, give me a holler so I can say hi. It's been a while.
Yeah, let's do that. I get there, you know, every few months. I'll remember next time, send you a text. If you're available, you're available, and we'll, definitely connect. I try to go there more. Like, if I'm in Camp Verde, and I think a lot of people do that, they'll choose Prescott, you know, there's more options. And then I'm kind of supporting a little more, my mindset, you know,
there's so much more to do here, and it's got such a wonderful and great history.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is the time of year when you can really enjoy it, to the max.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Phil, take care.
Thanks, Jeff.
Talk with you soon.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Any comments? I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I refinanced my home an investment property just last year. Of course, I used Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. She did a great job for us, for me and Angela. Got this thing refinanced, got us a good rate, walked us through the entire process. That's what I really like about Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans is, especially if you don't do this as much as I've done it, quite frankly. So I have a lot of, history of understanding and dealing with different mortgage companies, in the past. And Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she does an excellent job. Try her out. Mention the Jeff Orbit Show when you do, cause you can get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. And by the way, Nova Home Loans, they are Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender. So they give you kind of the best of both worlds. You got a bank, but then you also got, like a broker, just, you know, they can look into other programs. So you're a first time buyer. You've got housing that's like off grid, second homes, investment properties. Kim Dawson and Nova Home Loans, they can help you out, in just about any situation. 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbitz Show.
This is Jeff Orbitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in, they laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. A couple of final thoughts here before we step out for the day. I'd love you to send me some comments so I can get those on tomorrow and Friday's show as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. The giveaway only has you know, where are we at here? 21st, another week or so, a little more than a week. Probably the end of, actually, let me take that back. The end of next week will be the cutoff because we've got July 4th coming up and we've got a couple of days off in the beginning of that following week. Right before and during 4th of July. So go ahead and get those in. If you'd like to get in the drawing for this month's giveaway, go to talkwithjeff.com. That's talkwithjeff.com. Click on sponsors and giveaways. We did put a new episode of Orbit's Overload up this past Sunday. I'd love you to go check that out. That's a couple different places you can get that. If you go sign up for the giveaway, it's right there at talkwithjeff.com. Also, the YouTube channel, look up Orvitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, on YouTube and subscribe. This one's a fun one. We kind of go over a trip to Hawaii, but there's a lot of really funny moments in there I think you'll really enjoy if you want something. This is not a political type of show. This is just a fun, family-centered show. If you want something like that, something a little different, go check that out. Talkwithjeff.com or look up Jeff Orvitz or just Orvitz on YouTube, O-R-A-V-I-T-S. All right, be back tomorrow at 4:06 in Prescott area on 107.9 FM, also 97.1 FM throughout Northern Arizona, also streaming at talkwithjeff.com. I hope everybody has a great, safe night. And just a reminder, send those comments in. We want to try to share some good comments tomorrow during the program. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Everybody take care. Have a great, safe night. See you soon.
This is the Jeff Orvitz Show.
This is Jeff Orvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. Is the Biden economic disaster hitting your household a bit harder than you expected? Is inflation killing your personal budget? Now, Just Wireless was here for you in 2009, and they are here for you in 2023. Why would you pay full price for a new smartphone when you can get a great refurbished phone at Just Wireless and save a whole bunch of money? Or if you're like me, I've taken my smartphone to Just Wireless to get it repaired. They've taken care of cracked screens, charging port problems. They can also change out that battery. Check out Just Wireless's two locations in Flagstaff, across from the Flagstaff Mall and also on Milton Avenue, right as I-17 comes into town. Stop on by today and see how your hometown, locally owned cell phone guru can help you save money. And also check them out at JustWirelessAZ.com. That's JustWirelessAZ.com.